Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
After the opening statements, we'll jump right into the, like I said, Q&A with a hard close-up. If you help me keep track of that, 2:15, 14:15 for that. With that, who would like to go first?
I'm fine either way.
You go ahead, Dylan.
Okay. The history of Taiwan is a history of struggle, whether it be the indigenous people's movements against the Qing dynasty, which they struggled dearly. I believe one of the phrases was every 3 years an insurrection, every 5 years an uprising. All the way to modern ages, as they try to make a bulwark against an invading force which is consistently tried to be aggressive against the new state of a Democratic Republic of China. If the question is Taiwan a part of China? The answer is yes. It is part of the Republic of China, Taiwan. When we talk about the justification from a historical perspective, you could look at the resistance movement against Japanese, Spanish, Dutch, and Chinese imperialism in what you can call Taiwan, what you can call the government in Taipei, or even the Republic of Formosa, if we're talking about the Japanese. It has a history of democracy. If you look at the Republic of Formosa, the declaration that they put out, it was very Parisian in nature. It was, we are establishing a republic in here to defend against the Japanese invaders. That was in 1895. And when we talk about the modern history of Taiwan, it is a struggle to not only develop an identity, which is a new one that is Taiwanese in nature, when the vast majority of the population now identify as Taiwanese, they have their own language, they have their own currency, they have their own judicial system, they have their own military, they have their own laws, they have, really, their own nation. But it's not a nation in the eyes of some. Why? Because they're playing pretend. They're playing pretend. If I was to take out this phone in my pocket and say, this is not a phone, now it functions in every way as a phone. I can turn it on, I can text, I can call, I can do all these things, but it's not a phone. I'm not being honest with you. I'm lying for any number of reasons. In this case, people are lying because they don't want to piss off the People's Republic of China, the mainland government. Now let's talk about the conclusions if someone was to say, you know what, I disregard the historical basis for Taiwan's independent struggle and the indigenous community, or its own language, or its own identity that's developed, or the fact that they want their own democracy. I disregard the historical basis. Let's talk about the reality of disregarding that historical basis and saying that the Taiwanese cannot have their own state, and this is a merely an internal affair. Taiwan is a nation of 25 million people. It is one of the most dense nations on Earth, 17 when it comes to density. If you listen to the Taipei Times, it's actually first if you exclude mountainous regions. Syria was 20 million, and it ranked 67th on the density scale. If we were to drop our support for Taiwan, the likelihood of war would skyrocket, as the leverage that Taiwan has in upholding its democracy would vanish. And a war across the Taiwan Strait would be an absolute disaster. Not only would a refugee crisis spiral out of control worse than what we saw in Syria, but America would actually be one of the prime recipient of refugees because the Taiwanese community has deep ties to California, and many of them would be fleeing persecution, political persecution that is, from the government coming in. That is something we would have to feel the full effects of. The semiconductor industry, which the world relies on, when one company within Taiwan, the TSMC, produces 50% of the foundries necessary for semiconductor production, that would take a hit. International trade would take a hit. Our trade with that nation would take a hit. America's reputation would take a hit. Not to even talk about the civil liberties that the Taiwanese have fought against, say, Chiang Kai-shek, for example, to develop. That's another thing. Many people will talk about the White Terror or Chiang Kai-shek's government or the brutality of it, and will use that as a justification to delegitimize the Taiwanese people and their struggle for independence. Well, that's interesting, since the people that Chiang Kai-shek purged first were the independence advocates. Chiang Kai-shek wanted to reconquer the mainland, and so he purged the indigenous people's advocates for an independent Taiwan. And those people fought for years to have a democratic Taiwan with its own system of governance. So I'm not going to ramble anymore. I have a lot of points I want to go into and a lot of questions for Haas about the conclusions that would come from his worldview here. But I'll just stop it there.
So there's three points I want to address amidst all of that. Firstly, let me preface this by saying there is absolutely no historical basis for the region of Taiwan to be a separate country from China. The history of the relationship between the Han Chinese and the indigenous people of Taiwan is a rather interesting one. The only problem is that Taiwan is currently around 98 to 99% Han Chinese. So there's absolutely no basis in the historically indigenous people of Taiwan for the indigenous, for an independence movement. As a matter of fact, some of the most renowned indigenous politicians within Taiwan are the most ardent advocates for unification and anti-independence. So it's rather interesting that the indigenous people of Taiwan, by and large, are against independence, whereas some Han liberal elites within Taiwan, pro-American, are the most in favor of independence. So this talk of the indigenous struggle against the Qing or the Han Chinese is a complete nonsensical non-factor in the question of whether Taiwan is a country or not, because indigenous people do not factor whatsoever in the question of whether Taiwan is an independent country. Now, second of all, in the history, I will concede that politics has oftentimes played a role in defining nation states. France was a historically united region based on the Kingdom of France and the common shared language, customs, etc., but it did not become a nation state until it was united by the Republican ideals of the French Revolution. So I will concede that politics often plays a part, politics and religion, in the formation of nations. The only problem is that China is not just a nation. It is not a nation state. It is a 5,000-year-long civilization that has endured many different types of political systems and political forms, while nonetheless maintaining being the one country of China, the one civilization of China, Zhongguo, the middle kingdom of the world, basically, is how it conceived itself. So this 5,000-year-long civilization is not reducible to a certain political project or a political ideal, which is actually something the nationalists like Chiang Kai-shek were able to respect and acknowledge throughout the entirety of the Republic of China's struggle against the People's Republic, a civil war that technically did not end. Both Chiang Kai-shek and Mao Zedong recognized that there is one China. They were merely disagreeing over who should rule that one China. And the independence movement of Taiwan has never been popular. It's always been a marginal phenomena, a phenomena we can infer was definitely propped up by the Americans. Chiang Kai-shek himself had to butt heads with the Americans and engage in minor diplomatic conflicts with the Americans, who were pushing independence. The founding mission of the Kuomintang, sorry if I mispronounce it, the KMT, was one China. The notion that Taiwan would become an independent effaces the very foundation of Taiwan as a so-called separate country from the People's Republic. The founding mission of the Kuomintang was based on the ideals of Sun Yat-sen for the unification and rejuvenation of the 5,000-year-long Chinese civilization on the basis of the ideals of the modern world. Now, finally, the notion that a Chinese invasion of Taiwan, a Chinese invasion of China, in other words, would lead to a refugee crisis, assumes that the people of Taiwan, the Chinese people of Taiwan, are willing to fight to defend the status quo that is now in place. Every form of research and study that has been conducted among the people of Taiwan has shown that they are not willing to take up arms, they are not willing to have any bloodshed to prevent unification with China. So there's no impetus for the people of Taiwan why would there be refugees when there would be no conflict to begin with? China, if hypothetically this would happen, would simply come in. And finally, I want to make one last point. The notion that Taiwan's current constitution and laws and whatever would be destroyed upon unification gravely misunderstands the current Chinese system. The Chinese system, the precedent set by Hong Kong, is of one country, two systems. Many different systems can exist under the sovereignty of one China. And China has expressed, the People's Republic of China has expressed its fullest intention to allow the people of Taiwan to maintain their specific system so long as they acknowledge there is only one China. I rest my case.
So the first thing I want to say, so there's a bunch of things that were wrong there, but I'm just going to start with the indigenous communities. The indigenous community make up 2% of the population. That is true, okay, if we're just talking about people who are just primarily indigenous, if we're not talking about people who are culturally indigenous, or we're talking about interfaith marriages and the children, we're just going to talk about the 2%. They make up 2% of the population, yet 60% of the nation's special elite forces. 60%. They make up an extremely disproportionate amount of the nation's military. The military that defends Taiwan, the indigenous community, which you say, oh, they're many of them love the idea of Chinese invasion or China coming or any of these things.
It's not what I said.
They vastly support
the
Taiwan being independent, number
they're
one.
KMT
and number
loyalists.
Two, they are overrepresented when it comes to the military. And if you talk about them being KMT loyalists, that's true. A lot of people...
The KMT
support,
wants one China.
Stop interrupting me, Hans, okay? This isn't the internet. We're in person. Act like a civil
so
person.
So what? I don't care if it's not on the internet. Why do I give a shit?
Okay. Calm down, Hans, please. Anyway, the indigenous community are overrepresented in the military because they're willing to defend Taiwan and the system of governance that has slowly evolved on across the Taiwan Strait.
Studies show otherwise.
That's not true. By the way, the studies you reference when it comes to, oh, but the Taiwanese people would not defend. According to the Taipei Times, 2/3 of the population of Taiwan have said they'd be willing to pick up arms in defense of Taiwan. 2/3 of the population.
That's bullshit.
That's just true.
That's 100% bullshit. If the Taipei Times has said 2/3 of the people of Taiwan are willing to take up arms, the Taipei Times is lying.
Well, then you're lying to me right now. That's just true.
Well, there's no way for us to independently verify this right now. So
anybody can Google it.
Google it.
Everybody at home.
The
Google
people
it.
Then Google it at home.
2/3.
Look up
Isn't
actual.
Amazing?
Look up so informed studies. The surveys have shown. The polling has shown. People in Taiwan are not willing to risk any bloodshed in the midst of a Chinese People's Republic of China
invasion. That's not true. 2/3 of the population.
You have You have one source and multiple sources.
But
that
you haven't even okay. Source one study then.
I'm Google it at home.
Ah, yeah, okay. So I have one source, you have no source.
Oh, you brought a fucking binder and I came empty-handed. Good luck.
Well, that's your fault. You should have come prepared.
Well, actually, Dylan, the thing is, I don't need a binder. That's the thing. I don't need to take
communist
notes.
Communist work ethic, huh?
Yeah. Listen, the thing is, I don't need a binder. I don't need to cite a one study from the Taipei Times. To the extent of my familiarity, the people of Taiwan are not. No, it's up to the audience to independently verify it. I can trust that I'll... come out on the right when it comes to that.
I'm sure you will. Okay, so when it comes to the KMT has lost the two elections. When it comes to the idea
but the indigenous
that,
support the KMT.
Geez, let me finish.
Wait, you
let
can't.
You're not interrupting me, okay? I'm talking whether you like it or not. So the KMT, this is about a different point, so this is why I can calm down. The KMT, when it comes to the independence struggle and whether independence is popular, have lost the last two elections. Tsai Ing-wen has won the last two elections in decent amounts, and the Democratic Progressive Party, which is the party that she's a part of, is the independence party, the pro-independence party. And she has stated on multiple occasions and has been reelected on the platform of, Taiwan does not need to declare independence, for we are already independent. She points to the judicial system. She points to the military. She points to the language. She points to a separate history. She points to all these things for a justifiable reason to show that Taiwan is independent and the world is upholding a facade that it isn't an independent nation. They're pretending. The thing is, if I go to Taiwan, Haas, and I call the Chinese police, the mainland Chinese police, if I'm getting mugged, they're not going to show up. You know what's going to show up? The Taiwanese police.
In a region of China, it would work the same exact way. You're not going to call the region in southern China if you're in northern China. What a stupid point. Second of all,
are you really saying that the Chinese government has authority over the Taiwanese government?
It doesn't have authority in Hong Kong.
It doesn't. Well,
it doesn't have authority in Hong Kong.
It doesn't have authority
no,
in Hong
Kong. No, it doesn't.
Wait, are you telling me? Yeah, it does.
It has an extradition law.
It sends agents into Hong Kong. Don't yell at
the
me.
US
lower
sends,
your voice.
The US sends agents.
Lower your voice,
the US,
okay?
The US sends agents all over the world. So
lower
what?
Lower your voice. But they do it because they're trying to exert their direct authority.
China has agents in Taiwan.
And it is slowly absorbing.
China has agents in Taiwan.
Not to mention the fact that they are trying to enforce their authority, for example, in Hong Kong. Let's talk about the two
China has agents in Hong Kong.
Let's talk about the one country, two systems. He thinks it's so favorable, even though the Taiwanese people are horrified at the notion, definitely after the developments in Hong Kong. In Hong Kong, due to recent legislation that was passed, if you boo the Chinese national anthem, you can actually go to prison for that due to national security legislation that the Chinese government has put in there.
There's similar laws in South Korea.
That came from, and I disagree with those laws, and that came from...
So why are you blaming the People's Republic? That's Asian culture. That's part of East Asian culture. You don't disrespect the national anthem.
Culture. If I go to Taiwan and I say, fuck Taiwan, fuck the government, boo the national anthem, they won't arrest me because they have a dedication to democracy, unlike the mainland government.
That's only recently because of liberalization efforts that came at the expense of the status quo with the KMT. But moreover, there's a number of points you weaseled your way out of, so I want to pin you down on those points. So first of all, you claimed that, first you made the claim that the overwhelming majority of the armed forces are made up by indigenous people.
I never said that. I said the special forces.
The special forces. That's not because they're pro-independence. They have always been a stronghold of KMT loyalism and fierce anti-independence sentiment. It's a complete non-point. You mentioned the president of Taiwan say that we're already a country, you want to maintain the status quo. Then maintain the status quo, but try to change your official name to the Republic of Taiwan and see what will happen. It is the Republic of China that is the current status quo. She's saying we basically function already as another country. That's her opinion. See what happens when they try to make that formal or official, and see what the response is going to be from China. If Taiwan attempts to pursue secession from China, China will act swiftly in response. And the U.S. can't do a goddamn thing about it, whether you like it or not.
Military planners disagree with you, but that's besides the point. We're not talking,
they can't do a goddamn thing about it.
We're not talking about strategy. I'm sure you're not a military general, okay? No matter how many Soviet caps you put on. Okay?
Then just wait a few years.
We will wait a few years, and we'll see what happens. Anyway, when it comes to the idea that the indigenous community, they don't support an independent Taiwan, even though they were at the front and center of every single independent struggle in Taiwanese history, they're at the front and center. They were the first purge.
Against the Han Chinese, who are 98%.
They were the first purge by Chen Kai-shek.
There's no continuity between the historical struggles of the Taiwanese indigenous population and the current Taiwanese independence movement, which is overwhelmingly dominated by Han Chinese liberals.
Of course it's overwhelmingly dominated by the Han Chinese.
And led by them.
It's because it's 98% of the population. But we're talking about a disproportionate amount in the military, specifically the special forces.
So why is there a disproportionate amount in the special forces, but not a disproportionate amount in the independence movement?
In the independence movement? It is a disproportionate
amount. No, there isn't.
Yes, it is.
What percentage of indigenous people support the independence movement?
I don't know the exact percentage, but neither
do you. It's not two-thirds.
Okay, tell me your percentage.
It's not 50%.
Tell me your percentage. Tell me.
It could not be more than 20%.
Do you have any data for that?
I'm willing to risk everything by saying that.
Everything?
Yeah.
Wow. Even your soul?
Okay. I'm already doing that by debating you right now.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure you are. Okay. So what was the second point you made? There was a second point besides that.
The second point was about the history of nation states and politics.
Okay. Well, that wasn't what I was going to, but I'll address that anyway. So, even if we were to disregard all historical basis for Taiwan being an independent nation when it comes to its long struggle of independence, let's just talk about modern history then. The people of Taiwan struggled against Chiang Kai-shek's White Terror. And if any of you don't know what the White Terror is, the White Terror was a system of purges that Chiang Kai-shek and his sons, until about 1987, from about 1950, I forget exactly when it started, purged independence advocates and opposition to the government. They were scared that this would jeopardize their ability to reconquer the mainland of China, since most of the independence struggle didn't really have any interest in invading the Chinese mainland and reconquering. And so they purged them. Hundreds of thousands were purged, to be exact. And those people struggled for years until the 1990s, when they were eventually able to actually get a democracy. And that history of struggle is the history of modern Taiwan, struggling against the authoritarian system of government that was in place. And then they were able to institute a liberal democracy, which they have to this day. Do you disagree with the fact that
of course I disagree.
It's not a liberal democracy.
The military might of the Kuomintang is the foundation of Taiwan as having any political independence from the mainland whatsoever. It is the arms taken up by the KMT that has secured that. And it is for the same reason that is the arms of the special forces that you're talking about, made up by the pro-KMT loyalists. I mean, the KMT are the ones who are securing the political independence in the first place. If these liberals want to go and have democracy, their democracy has not secured any...
You're not addressing the
liberal democracy you're talking about has no basis in any sovereign power.
Okay, I don't...
It has no basis in any military power.
You're not addressing my
The
points.
Same power that made Taiwan possible as a separate state in the first place is something the liberal Democrats have no stronghold in whatsoever. Okay. So it is only on the basis of the ideals of the KMT and the view that there is one China that has kept Taiwan separate from the mainland in the first place.
Okay, you're floundering. But when it comes to...
Can you address the point that I'm floundering?
You never addressed my point.
What's your point?
My point was that the modern history of Taiwan, when it comes to the population, is a history of struggle against the authoritarian system, the Chiang Kai-shek.
But insofar...
Let me finish... Please.
But first you have
I'm
the
I'm not going to let you talk.
I heard what
I'm
you
not,
said.
I'm not
I
finished.
Heard what you said.
I'm not finished talking.
Finish. Go ahead, Dylan. Finish.
I will finish.
Yeah.
And you'll be quiet.
Wait, so, really? Will I be quiet?
Yeah, you will be
on
quiet.
On bond of what?
Me, because I'm talking, because it's a debate. It's a conversation.
Okay, okay.
You gotta let
don't
me
don't
talk.
Sit here and say you will be quiet.
Well, then be quiet.
I'm not going to fucking be quiet.
Be quiet.
Don't talk. If you tell me Jesus to be quiet, Christ. I won't be. How about that?
Okay, you won't be?
No.
Okay, then yell, please.
Yeah. So what you're basically saying, which said, that's okay. You can keep yelling.
No, I'll keep
you can keep fucking yelling. You can keep fucking yelling.
The history of democracy.
Listen.
The history of democracy.
That history of democracy was
okay.
First you had the KMT.
The B movie
securing,
is an amazing
So
movie.
Why wasn't it? Why didn't that democracy it. Movement extend to the mainland?
Because the because there's old.
Because it's a separate fucking territory.
Exactly.
Because it's a separate territory. No, it's not. It's a separate territory. It's a separate territory. Because
yeah!
the KMT secured it as such.
Okay, calm down.
Yeah, that's the only reason
calm
it's a
down.
Fucking separate territory
stop,
in the first place.
Stop swinging out and calm down, okay?
You're a time waster. You bullshit and waste time.
You're not letting me speak. You
you're a fucking time waster.
You need to shut the fuck up. Jesus Christ.
Go ahead, say your piece.
My
Dylan.
God. Okay, so the history, finally, for the fifth time, the history of modern Taiwan is a history of struggle against political authoritarianism, particularly Chiang Kai-shek, okay? Chiang Kai-shek, he did a white terror against the people of Taiwan, and they fought for their freedom, and they earned it through blood and sacrifice against the government. And for the last 30 years, they've upheld a democracy, which through that democracy and the consent of the governed, they have been able to elect democracies and politicians who represent their interests. And the vast majority of the people within Taiwan support continuing the status quo, and second, if you were to follow the status quo, is the independence when you check polling. The reason why they choose the status quo currently over independence is purely because if they were, and I agree with Haas on this, to declare independence right now, they would be bombed to shit and millions would die. It would be a disaster. That's a terrible thing, by the way, that a nation and its people declaring independence, even though it's already independence, would result in a bombing and destruction of a sovereign people with its own identity, culture, language that has started and continues to separately develop
from the Chinese.
What happened
to the Confederates?
Only, let's talk about that. What is the current evil that the Chinese government.
When you secede from a sovereign territory,
you ask me a question.
The sovereign is not going to tolerate secession.
You gotta be able to respond to the question, Haas.
Yeah.
Okay. So the difference between the Confederacy and when you talk about this.
The evil is this, from the Chinese perspective. It is cutting off a piece of China and basically submitting it to foreigners.
Wow.
China has endured the century of humiliation. It remembers the century of humiliation. China will never submit to the dominance of Anglo-Saxon imperialists, and it will refuse this on bond of war. So if Taiwan were to commit so-called independence from China, it would become a satellite state of the Americans. China's not going to tolerate a piece of its territory being cut off. If people try to take China's territory, they're going to be met with a swift response.
It's interesting that I say people. When the people we're talking about are the people who live there. Those are the people who would want it to be a sovereign nation. It's not the Americans coming in and invading.
They don't.
Just shut the fuck up, please.
They don't.
You gotta let me speak, okay? My God, fucking Jesus. Okay, so the people there, overwhelmingly, and there's no data you could provide that rejects this, do not want to be part of the mainland government under any circumstances.
That's not
only
true.
6%, only 6% of the population actually want reunification eventually or immediately with the mainland government. Only 6%. That means 94%. The data you're going to cite, I don't know what it's from.
Yeah,
if it's from the Beijing Times.
Yeah, yeah. Why should I just trust the Taipei Times but not the Beijing Times?
Okay, tell me what's wrong with the Taipei Times. I can tell you about the state funding that comes from for certain news publications that publish the data.
There's no difference. So my source versus your source.
I've just told you about the funding. That's the difference.
Okay. What's the funding difference?
The Taipei Times isn't funded by the Taiwanese government.
Oh, it's just funded by private corporations that prop up the government.
Okay, so there's no source that I could source you.
So, go back. First of all, there's 2 points because you weaseled your way out of the first one. Then I'm going to address the second one. The first point is simply this. You're talking, you're giving this this sob story about the history of democratic struggle within Taiwan. Yeah. All of that still rests upon the foundational bedrock of true sovereignty, sovereignty in the true Hobbesian, Carl Schmitt sense of sovereignty, as in being able to enforce a state of exception, which is the KMT's military might. They have not changed this foundation, and the KMT its founding mission was based on one China. Now, the second thing we're talking about is which sources are, with the polling data. Polls have shown that the majority of, it is true, people in Taiwan want to maintain the status quo. But as far as the Taiwanese people, whether they want to along the road eventually become independent or along the road want to join with China, both of these are smaller than the percentage who say they either don't care or they would not care either way. So what you're saying is patently wrong. Both of these people, eventually independence or eventually unification, both are a small minority of Taiwan's population.
Okay. So the first thing is on this Hobbesian nerd shit, okay? So I don't care about any of that. I'm going to be completely honest. What I care
You're not
about,
educated.
Okay, elitism.
Just like you don't care about China's history.
Okay, I shut the fuck up. Okay, so the thing is, I can care about one thing and one thing only here, and that's the consent of the governed. And as a patriotic...
That's based on philosophy. You don't want to talk about Hobbes or Carl Schmitt, then don't talk about abstract philosophical principles like the consent of the government.
Just keep fucking going.
I contest your foundational political philosophy. You're trying to impose a state... If you don't care, then don't fucking debate.
Well, then don't talk to me. If you don't want to talk to me, if you don't think it's...
If you want to run from the debate...
Walk out the room. Walk away.
You can walk out because I'm talking about what I want to talk about.
But it's my turn to talk.
I don't care. I don't care.
It's my turn to talk.
I don't care. I don't care.
Then walk out!
My God, you yell a lot for a guy who's dodging a boxing match.
I'm dodging the fucking boxing match.
Yes, you are.
Really? So you want me to dedicate 6 months of my time at the expense of my streaming career to train for fucking boxing?
Wait. You challenged Vosh and said since he didn't accept it.
No, I didn't.
Pussy.
Actually,
yes, you did.
Actually,
I got the Vosh.
I did not. No.
You fucking coward.
Oh, really, really?
You
look at this
coward.
Fucking liar. This fucking liar going on record.
You're a coward.
Saying I challenged Vosh.
Yes, you did. You
someone,
called me a pussy for not accepting it.
Hey, hey. No, I didn't.
Yes,
first
you
of
did.
All... Someone came in my fucking chat and asked me, would you fight Vosh for a prize money of $50,000 or $80,000? Fuck yeah, I would.
Then you challenge Matt Empanada.
That would cover all of the streaming, all of the fucking yearly costs. I could sacrifice my streaming career to fucking do that. So of course I'm going to accept that. Furthermore, you're a fucking nobody and Vosh has some clout. So there's something there to gain from that.
I'm bigger than
you. You're bigger than Vosh?
I'm bigger than you.
How long have you been in the scene? You
but
got
I'm
your
so
shit.
Than you. How can you call
you
me
got,
nobody
you
when
got,
I'm bigger than you?
You got all your fucking clout from the November election. I'm rapidly rising, average 600 views. I see your viewership when I'm live. You don't have more fucking views than me. I already fucking outpaced you, Dylan. And I've been here less time than you have.
What happened to the Infrared Showdown?
Oh, what happened to the showdown is that I came to LA
out of business
for a month.
In 1 month.
Oh yeah?
One
oh yeah.
Month.
I went to
and
LA. I went to LA for
one
a month.
Month.
I went to LA for a month and got COVID. That's
how can
what
you be so
happened.
Manly online and be such a coward?
How am I a coward?
You're a coward because you go out like you're a big, strong.
I am. You wanna fucking test me outside?
You really gonna threaten me right now?
I'm not, I'm saying you wanna ask if I'm a big man or if then go ahead and test me outside.
You really wanna go outside and fight me right now.
You can test me, you're free to test my manhood. You're free to test my manhood, Dylan. Don't assume that a fucking
Look,
boxing match with rules. Assume a fucking boxing match with rules
you're
is going to be
man.
The
you're
same
a
as a street fighter.
Fighter. You know what happened? All
then test
when
me.
They
then
the
test
MMA,
me.
They
go
all
ahead,
got obliterated. They all got went away. Okay. The problem is Infrared. You asked me. Here was all the conditions. You said first we're gonna. Okay, it's Michigan. It's Detroit. It's gonna be at this gym. It's gonna be 10 rounds. And I meet every single one of the things you asked me for that boxing
No, it's
match.
Not.
And then
you asked me. Hold on.
I know how to defend
I
myself.
I have the DMs.
And now you're a coward.
I have the DMs.
Go get them.
I have the
Yeah, I challenge
DMs.
You. I see you challenge everyone else.
I have the DMs.
Get them.
can we go back to the topic?
I have the DMs.
Can we go back to the topic?
We can go
here's
back to
Dylan.
The topic.
So here's what happened. Actually, here's what happened. It was 3 a.m. my time in L.A. This psychopath, coping loser, he's up at 6 a.m. all night. He's seething about me, thinking about me.
What?
I was banned on Twitch. I forgot who this fucking guy was. He DMs me. He goes, what a weirdo. He goes, look at this. I'm scrolling to it. He says, let's have a boxing match. I'll do. I'm with my boy Jackson on his roof smoking a cigar. I get this fucking DM. Let's have a boxing match.
And you,
it'll be fun.
And then you
3 a.m.
Then I said,
okay. Need 1 month minimum for training and promotion.
So you agree?
That's reasonable.
You agree?
You're right. You're right. But nobody told me you had experience.
Wait. So the problem is you.
Listen. Hold on. If you don't recognize that boxing is about experience, you're a fucking idiot. Boxing is all about experience.
Exactly. That works.
It's not a street fight. It's not a fucking street fight. It's not
Let's
something
do MMA
you just,
then.
It's not just something
Let's
you.
Let's do MMA then.
MMA is not a street fight either.
So literally, you're just saying, let's go into an alleyway and fight, which you know I can't
if
do.
You want, no, I'm saying, if you want to test my manhood, that's on you.
Well, I just think you're a coward and you backed out of it because then you learn to know how to defend myself.
Why are you worth it to me?
Because you go around and you challenge all these people.
To
right?
what?
You challenge Bad Empanada, for example. You challenge him. You said you go to Argentina.
Yeah.
Then I say, I'll go to your city.
Because
your
cause,
gym.
Cause,
your community.
Yeah. Because I was willing to go there for him because I hate the guy that much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And you accept my boxing
So it's worth it to me.
You
so somehow it's worth it
you
to me.
You dodged it because you're a coward.
So let's continue.
You're not a real
let's
man.
Continue.
You just
you're,
flex on
you're
the
saying,
internet.
Go ahead. You can keep talking
no,
about
can
a real man.
Back,
you look like a fat fuck.
All right,
fat
all right. So you would lose to
you
a fat
You look like
guy.
An inbred fat retard.
You'd lose to a fat guy. You'd lose to a fat guy.
You'd like an inbred fat retard.
You scared of a fat guy.
So let's continue. So Dylan kept asking.
Wait, I'm fat. So you'd lose them.
You look like an inbred fat retard.
So you'd lose to a fat retard. That's what you're saying.
Dylan.
You scared of a fat retard.
Okay, the challenge is out there. Wrap this up real quick.
He kept,
we'll go to closing statement.
He kept asking me 21 questions like, what's your weight class? Where do you want to have it? How many rounds do you want
to
have?
Schedule.
And I was just responding to you. I didn't impose all these fucking conditions on you.
No,
you kept asking me the conditions.
I made sure that all the then you said 10 rounds and I say, hey, that's ridiculous because you don't know anything. And then you were like, no, we have to do 10 rounds. I'll make sure it's
no,
my
what
gym
you
now.
Said is
you
that
know anything about
you
it?
Said a gym would not allow 10 rounds.
Yeah, I was like, of course they would.
I said, I could find, I said, I could
10 rounds.
I said, I know of gyms in Detroit that will tolerate 10 rounds and I'll get them. I didn't force the condition.
And I agreed to it anyway.
I didn't force any conditions. If you had a problem with that, you could have said so.
And I agreed to all of it.
Okay,
anyway.
So I think where we've gotten to with this is there may be a boxing match in the future. Yeah. So. With that being said now, you guys had loved a little bit about the will of the people, the history of China. Let's wrap it up for the next few minutes, closing that one, if we can avoid the boxing discussion.
I did intro, he can start outro.
And so we'll do that, then open it up to questions and answers at that point, so.
Yeah, Taiwan is not a country. The overwhelming majority of sovereign countries in the world, if not almost pretty much all of them, don't recognize it as one. They recognize it as a vague breakaway province that's still struggling with the central government of China. The country of Taiwan, supposed country of Taiwan, the official government is called the Republic of China. There has never been a significant dispute as to whether there is one China or not. This issue has been forced by the Americans. And it's as simple as that. Both the KMT, which founded Taiwan as a separate political territory, and the Communist Party of China, both have always agreed there is only one China. The pro-independence movement has never actually changed the foundation of Taiwan as being based in the foundational ideals of Sun Yat-sen, which are also shared by the Communist Party of China.
Okay, so the first thing about international recognition that needs to be noted here is international recognition matters not at all, in my opinion, when it comes to designating whether a nation is a nation or not a nation. Because if that's the case, then the mainland was not a country until what, 1971, when it was admitted to the United Nations? Or was it a country when the majority of nations finally tipped from Taiwan to China, mainland China, that is, when it comes to recognizing what country is and isn't the actual China. Because if that's the case, then what we're saying is that the mainland government wasn't a country until 1971, but 1970, it totally wasn't a country, even though it had all the trappings of a country. International recognition doesn't matter as much to me when it comes to this. Definitely when it comes to the idea of, like, well, what about these superpowers that recognize it? Well, America doesn't recognize it. That doesn't matter to me. Doesn't matter to me at all. If every nation in the world tomorrow said we no longer recognize the United States as a nation, that doesn't mean the United States is no longer a nation state. It has all the trappings of a nation state. And when you look at Taiwan, it has its own language. It has its own separate history. It has its
language.
Own... language? Yes. You don't know about 70%... Taiwanese language? You don't know that?
How is it a separate language? They speak Han
the
Chinese.
Taiwanese... Okay, you don't know what you're talking about. Anyway.
There's dialects of Han Chinese within
my outro.
China, too.
It's my outro, okay?
So fucking stupid.
Yeah, you are. You're right. Okay, so the thing is, they have all the trappings of a modern state. They've struggled to build a separate system of governance, a democracy within Taiwan against an authoritarian system. They've seen the offer from Haas and his buddies, the one country, two systems. They saw it play out in Hong Kong, and the support for independence skyrocketed after seeing the result of that. Because they don't want that for their future. And let's say that everything, every single thing Haas said about the history of Taiwan is completely true. United States did not exist until 1776. Nations can be built with complex cultures and history in the blink of an eye through revolution and civil geopolitical strife. And so what I'm saying here is, since they've developed their own culture, the Taiwanese identity is a distinct identity now, and if you pull the people on Taiwan, they identify as Taiwanese majority, not Chinese. Some identify as both, I will say that. They have their own system of governance. They have their own judicial system. They have their own everything. Saying it is not an independent country is plain pretend, which I know communists like to do a lot. So that'll be that.
All righty. Well, thank you both for that interesting conversation and lively. Before we open it up for question and answer, I will say, please, if you have a question not dealing with the boxing match, feel free to come forward. If it's dealing with the boxing match, we'll handle those at the end. So, if you'll just stand in the middle, you don't have to be on one side or the other. So, there's still a couple.
You might step a little closer. Microphones are going to pick up from the camera.
Questions for Infrared. Do you believe that it's morally right for Taiwan to be independent?
No.
And why, sir?
I don't think the... people have a right to arbitrarily secede simply based on, it's a betrayal of China to China's enemies. So I'm against this kind of betrayal, simple as that.
Can I get a counterfeit?
They could say the same thing about America in 1776, but our rebellion was moral because we knew that the system of government that the king had was fundamentally wrong. Because we wanted
taxation. It says
taxation.
Nothing to do with the
Shut
material
the fuck up.
Factors.
Taxation without representation
it's nothing
is wrong.
To do with the material taxation, factors behind 1776.
Taxation without representation is wrong. And as a patriot, as you describe yourself, you should know that.
The Taiwan system would be preserved under one country, two systems.
No, it wouldn't. We
yes,
saw what happened
would.
In Hong Kong.
In Hong Kong, they passed an extradition bill, and there was a Western-fueled unrest and chaos.
Ooh, Western
that
CIA.
In order to restore law and order, the police of Hong Kong had to crack down on.
Yeah.
What happened
Tiananmen
during
Square.
What happened during the riots of Black Lives Matter and January 6th? Was this all an infringement upon the rights of the American people?
What?
That the police cracked down on this
was
unrest?
Was it an infringement? And many times, yes, actually. Police brutality is a major issue in this country.
Which yes, but does that represent does yes, it represent yes. the same level of oppression?
Look, you told me to stop. I'll respect
that. That's another debate,
trying,
so let's go ahead to the next question.
So I haven't had much time to formulate this question, but it's something like, and I think for Infrared first, but I'd like both opinion from both, is what is there actually going to be a benefit to say China as a whole, or maybe if you want to say the world as a whole, for China to kind of completely take over Taiwan? I feel like the people of Taiwan, kind of like Hong Kong, when their rules start coming into play, the Taiwanese are going to be like, wait a minute, that's more kind of oppressive than we're used to. We're used to these more freedoms. There's going to be a lot of there's going to be a whole, it's an island nation, isn't it?
Taiwanians.
It's a whole island nation of very unhappy people with new oppressive laws being put upon them, and I don't know how, like, who's happy about it? I feel like the Chinese are going to do it. It's going to be messy for them. It's going to be messy for the Taiwanese. Why do it at all? What's the benefit?
So, I have to preface this. In the first place, it's none of our fucking business what China does to its own territory, because we are not China. We're a separate country, and we have to mind our own business and take care of our own people. So that's the first thing that's most important. But secondly, in case it matters, China has no intention of forcing laws or forcing its system on a people that don't want it. What China is interested in conserving is its geopolitical and territorial sovereignty. China does not want foreigners to meddle in its affairs and attempt to seize hegemony over China's sovereignty and China's territory and so on and so on. China wants to protect itself from people who have a history of express military hostility and antagonism toward China simply for being an independent rising power that is disrupting the American world order of hegemony. So China's first and foremost interest is preserving sovereignty. Its interest is not imposing an ideology or system which is not of any real importance. China knows that it can't impose a system on a people that don't want it. So that's why the one country, two systems was even implemented in the first place.
So when it comes to the idea that it's not really our issue, we have had a historical relationship with the Taiwanese government that goes past multiple administrations. A refugee crisis across from the Taiwan Strait would be a disaster, not only for the world, but especially the United States, considering that the Taiwanese community is quite large in California. I'm pretty sure a lot of them would like to take their family members because they wouldn't want to be either politically persecuted or blown up, since, again, if you were to exclude the mountainous terrain, Taiwan would be the number one most dense country in the world with a population of 25 million. To put that in perspective, Syria has a population of had a population of 20 million before the civil war and was the 67th most dense country in the world. And so when we talk about what would be a largely air campaign in Taiwan, that would be a humanitarian disaster, creates a massive refugee crisis. This doesn't even need to talk about our trade relationship with Taiwan and our interest there, or semiconductors, with 50% of the world's semiconductors being produced by the TSMC, which of course is based in Taiwan, which right now with supply line shortages, that being bombed to shit, or us not having access to that, would also be a massive issue for the United States when it comes to the idea it's not our business. Also, China's extremely hypocritical when it comes to this point because it says that, well, this is a civil war, and Haas correctly technically states that it is technically a historical ongoing civil war. Not even in the same way that it is in Korea, though, because there's tourism across lines. There's workers from Taiwan working within there. The tourism industry is gigantic. They trade over like $200 billion, and I think in the last 20 or 30 years alone. So obviously, a civil war where you're trading tourism doesn't really sound like a very bloody civil war that's currently going on. There hasn't been violence in 75 years. But let's pretend that it's a civil war for a moment, right? That it's and not just, you know, on paper. In Myanmar right now, there is what is, if you would to be honest, a civil war. One-third of the country, according to certain analysts, is controlled by rebel forces that are fighting against a military dictatorship that overthrew the democratically elected government of Aung San Suu Kyi.
This is irrelevant.
Let me finish. Chinese involvement in the civil war.
What is that involvement?
Let me finish.
Military intervention or arms deals?
So, they have sent aid to the military government.
That's exactly
They have
it.
Sold weapons to the military government, which they then use to not only ethnically cleanse minorities in the country, but put down rebellions. And what is our involvement when it comes to Taiwan through the Taiwan Relations Act, for example?
Much worse.
Mostly sending them weapons through trade deals, the exact same thing they're doing with their involvement in an active, ongoing civil war where people are dying right now. If they're allowed to do it, why are we not allowed to do it?
U.S. troops are in Taiwan.
U.S. troops are in Taiwan.
Not officially, but they are.
And what about, you want to talk about?
They are secretly and covertly. Yes,
they are secretly and covertly.
Yes.
For training operations. Well, maybe because they're an independent nation, they're allowed to have that.
Okay. Well, China, you're saying China's two-faced for selling arms and giving aid to a government
because they're
because
what they do is...
But it
they
has friendly relations
they
with
oppose,
that government.
They have, and an ongoing civil war. They're taking sides. Also...
The status quo in that country is the government. It's the government that's recognized.
You're telling me the military dictatorship,
Listen,
which
China,
overthrew a democracy, is the status quo.
You don't understand
quo.
Chinese...
They upended the
Chinese,
status quo in Myanmar. What
well,
are you
guess what?
About?
Officially speaking... But officially speaking, that is the government of Myanmar.
Officially,
China works,
not recognized by many
China
international
works
forces, and you care about
China works with governments that are in power. China works... China worked with the Shah of Iran, and then it worked with the Ayatollahs. China works with whoever's in power, and it doesn't care about the internal political conflict.
Then America just works with what's in power in Taipei.
No, it doesn't, because because America has a specific agenda to meddle in China's affairs and promote independence of China.
And the Chinese are meddling in the
affairs of the empire. China's very pragmatic.
Wait, but what about with the burning down of factories? And the only time the Chinese got interested, it was like, never mind, we really need to stop, was when their factory was getting burned down. They don't care that their guns are being used to mow down protests.
Yeah, they care. China cares.
They don't care.
Hey,
they will help them.
We can learn from China. China
to help mow down protests?
China cares about China. America should care about America.
So we should sell more weapons to Saudi Arabia then, because it's very profitable.
All right. I think that's a good stop point there. I believe you have the next question, sir.
So this is for both of you, and it's kind of a broader question. We touched on it a bit, but I want to ask directly, kind of, what justifies sovereignty for a government? What legitimizes a government? What kind of factors go into whether we should support government? This is an issue not just in Taiwan, but also across the world, like in Ukraine, in Israel and Palestine.
So this is a philosophical question. And the German theorist, Carl Schmitt, does not define sovereignty based on some kind of external measurement. Sovereignty is, in short, as Hobbes pointed out, based on material realities. Sovereignty is based on a monopoly on violence. It's based on force. It's based on might. It's not based on some independent source verifying the sovereignty. Now, you could talk about other countries recognizing your sovereignty, which is an important thing, but sovereignty is based in material, not moral or ethical realities.
Yeah, and the material reality is that Taiwan's government is what controls the island of Taiwan. That's material reality.
Then let
reality.
Them try and
therefore
declare
recognize it as a nation.
Then let them try and declare independence and see what happens.
So if it walks like a horse, talks like a horse, and it's everything like a horse, but it doesn't say I'm a horse, is it or is it not a horse?
It's not a horse yet, because it's not allowed to have U.S. troops on its soil officially.
So if everybody in here said this isn't a phone, would you be like, oh, I guess it's
Taiwan is literally restricted from doing things a sovereign nation could do officially.
Because the Chinese government has tried to do that on the international stage. But by the way,
Have U.S. troops on its soil.
So what you're saying is that the Chinese government, the mainland government, in 1960...
It doesn't walk like a horse.
Let me ask you a question.
It doesn't walk like a horse.
Was the Chinese...
A horse can have troops on its soil officially.
I don't know I don't know of any horse that has troops on its soil. But what I will say, if that's what you're saying, then you would have to recognize that in 1960, the government in the mainland China was not a legitimate nation because it did not have large-scale international recognition or a seat at the United Nations.
The People's Republic of China was not a nation because it didn't have international recognition?
Yeah, 1960.
No. Well, that didn't reflect the material reality, which the world eventually woke up and adjusted to, that the overwhelming majority of the Chinese people are under the sovereignty of the Communist Party. So eventually they woke up to that reality. And is that going to happen with Taiwan?
So, international recognition.
Wait and see. Keep waiting for that to happen for Taiwan.
All right, back there with the recognition. Teach up. You're next, sir.
Yeah, you mentioned that China doesn't like to impose things on people that they don't want it, like that. Except the Uyghurs, Taiwan, Hong Kong, they're building islands. Where does China's border actually end? Like, as you mentioned,
historical Qing borders that were carved up by the British and other colonialists. But as far as the Uyghur situation is concerned, Xinjiang has been part of China for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. So that is a people who have already been under the system and sovereignty of the Communist Party for a very, very long time. So my point is they're not going to go to another territory and impose their system. The Uyghurs have already been living under the system. Now, if you don't like the details of how that system has been executed so far, it's a separate question. But they have already been living under the system.
Why would you trust the colonialists to draw up the borders? Because the Scarborough Shoal, for example, which China claims, is mostly used by Filipino fishermen and is claimed by the Philippines in international courts, which China recognizes.
Those international courts are illegitimate because
I didn't interrupt you.
The territorial dispute between China and the Philippines has been arbitrated in a bilateral matter. It is not under the jurisdiction of the international courts.
And you want to know what? In that bilateral matter, they lost and then they just rejected
it. No, they didn't.
Yeah, they did lose.
They came to an agreement with the Philippines. The Philippines didn't like it, so they ran to the UN.
And then the UN said what?
It doesn't matter. China.
Yeah,
this
but,
was,
but UN
it doesn't matter
because
the UN
Taiwan
has no sovereignty.
UN.
The
Isn't
UN.
That interesting?
The UN has no sovereignty to
that
execute.
Is so interesting.
The UN has no sovereignty to execute its authority over bilateral
so that's
relations.
So UN recognition by the UN when it comes to Taiwan.
No,
that matters. Because
it's not a unilateral matter.
That
it is
doesn't
a,
matter.
It is a bilateral matter between the
that
Philippines
so
and China, which
and
was arbitrated between
okay.
China
I
and
need
the Philippines.
Say one more thing.
And then real quick though,
okay.
I'll let you sum that. Then you get the last word. But again, getting back to the whole recognition thing, so it sounds like we could have a follow-on here, but before we go to the next question, go ahead.
The people in Xinjiang do not like being monitored in every aspect of their life, and they are. They don't even deny.
Your own sources admit it's not true anymore.
Let him finish, you'll have the
You're
last word.
You're saying that my sources say that there have not been an extreme increase in the level of monitoring.
No,
in street
they're now claiming it's all
let
it's
me,
all done.
You're not even letting me, you didn't even let me talk. Jesus, okay? So, in Xinjiang, these are things that are undisputable fact, even according to the Chinese government. When it comes to the monitoring of street cameras and the everyday life of Uyghurs, the Chinese government has heavily ramped up monitoring them. This has been claimed that this is needed to do for anti-terrorism measures. But that does not mean it's been accepted with open arms by the local population. Another thing is the banning of certain religious, I would say, religious activities. Now, specifically,
are you up to date on your sources? Because they're now saying all that's. They're now saying they.
No,
they're now saying they've eased up on Xinjiang.
They're not saying what I'm.
Yes, they have.
Now let me finish.
They said they've eased up surveillance. They've eased up the crackdown. But you're outdated.
I don't care.
You're time wasted.
You're
time wasted.
Wait, I'm outdated. Yet you're just
your sources are out of date.
Leninist, and I'm outdated. That's very funny.
So Marxism-Leninism is much newer than Anglo-Saxon liberalism from the 16th century.
And what one?
Okay, we're getting off topic in there. So, next question.
So my question is to Infrared here, and it seems like your entire moralistic worldview is based on might makes right and material conditions.
I'm a materialist. It's
okay.
Not about might makes right.
Okay, but you keep bringing up the fact that the reason that China has the sovereign authority that it does is because it has a monopoly on power, it's able to exert its control over people, et cetera, which is a might makes right argument. So if the material conditions are what basically says what exists and might makes right, then wouldn't it be in America's best interest to go imperialistic again and take over Taiwan in response to China, since that's what China is seeming to want to do?
There is a country that has tried this.
One
second. I understand the point of view.
Well, I just want to make it sure for the rest of the audience.
Okay, go ahead.
So the like how China has been doing with other countries that border it, such as Tibet, such as Vietnam in the 60s or 70s rather, such as like Dylan brought up Myanmar
okay.
or Burma. So that was
so okay. So Tibet has never bordered China; it's always been a part of China. Now, in regards to other border disputes, China has always settled these matters not only in a way that's fair, but in a way that overwhelmingly benefits the countries it's negotiating with. China ceded like 80% of its territory in one of its borders with Afghanistan, for example, right? So when China gets to the books and say we have to settle this territorial dispute, China's very generous with negotiations and has proven so. Now, regarding Myanmar and Vietnam, there was a border dispute with Vietnam in the 70s, but that's what it was. It was a border dispute. It wasn't some kind of arbitrary imperialist encroachment. It was a dispute about territory that could not be solved diplomatically. Finally, as to the question of might makes right, you can say, why doesn't America just use its might to invade the entire world? There's a country that has tried the precedent of just simply, hey, if we can do it, let's do it. It was the Nazi Germans. They tried this in World War II. It was proven that this is not a path countries and states can take just to completely circumvene the customs and norms, which are a material reality as well, that are in place. Because when you declare war against the entire world, you're going to have a world war and you're going to have the world unite against you. So America can try this. It just wouldn't be very wise.
So just to follow up on that, I'm specifically talking about Taiwan here.
Yeah.
Within regards
it would not be good for America.
Within regards to Taiwan, the Taiwanese people seem to be, as Dylan is saying, against China taking back part of
If America...
So
right,
isn't
if,
it in
yeah.
America's interest, as long as well as the Taiwanese interest, to join forces to prevent
Why is
China?
It in our interest?
Because of things like Dylan said, with the chip manufacturing, the territorial
There will
water
be no
disputes,
alteration to
cetera,
the chip manufacturing under Chinese...
But we have examples with...
China's already replicating Taiwan's chip industry at home anyway.
Well, that gives more power to China. And I know that you like
that.
Wouldn't that
justify having
it
more? Because then we would want our own ability to take in chips from a separate country.
We already can do that. We don't need to invade Taiwan to do that.
50%.
You don't need to invade. If America wants to replicate the chips that Taiwan produces, it can do so in the same way that China does.
By trading and recognizing them as a sovereign nation?
No, because China doesn't do that, and yet it's able to make its own domestic chips. This is a dead-end argument.
Let me ask you about something. Because you said that they always resolve these conflicts fairly. Now, if you said most of the time, maybe it would have been easier, but the Scarborough Shoal was very self-evident, where they took their ships, they put them on the Scarborough Shoal, then told the Filipinos, you want to fish here, this has been historically your fishing territory, you got to just come to the table and agree with us on all this stuff. Then the Filipinos come to the table after the United Nations says, hey, you know, you're a member state, and you agreed to follow these rules, China. What about all this? China just disregarded them. The international organization, which you use as a justification to say what is and isn't a nation state, due to that international recognition. Yes, you did. International recognition was part of your argument.
I said it's a factor. It's not the determining factor.
The United Nations is definitely considered.
The United Nations is not the determining factor as far as
the
international community is concerned.
One of the determining factors on the international
community. China has contested.
The UN is part of the international
community. China has contested the jurisdiction of the UN in that case, in that hearing, because it was settled bilaterally. And if you want to know if did China act unjustly, China is simply returning to the status quo that existed before the British arbitrarily came with their guns and their opium to carve up the Qing dynasty.
What if the Qing
alongside the Qing Empire, alongside the rest of the European colonial.
So what if
powers.
The Qing Empire was, you know, an empire, and therefore a lot of the territory it invaded, it shouldn't actually have had control of?
I've actually debated with you about this. You're so historically illiterate that you don't understand the structure of pre-modern empires and the manner by which they went about territorial conquest, annexation, assimilation. Is entirely different from European colonialism. If you don't understand that, you are simply historically illiterate.
With that, we're coming up against your time block here. So did you have a question?
Yes.
One final question, so go ahead. And if you stand between the cameras there so the mics can pick it up.
Yeah. My question is, well, for both of you, and you know, America, we're known for having really Chad energy from separating from Britain. So why not respect the Chad energy of the Taiwanese and let them separate from China? Why try to stick up for the guy who lost?
Because the circumstances are entirely different between the material conditions that gave rise to the American independence and the so-called independence movement within Taiwan. Now, China is a 5,000-year-long civilization. United States broke with the UK, which colonized the New World very recently, and because the people of America became indigenized and nationally, culturally, civilizationally different from the people in the United Kingdom after centuries and centuries of indigenization. This process has not occurred whatsoever in Taiwan. In Taiwan, the Taiwanese people and the Chinese people are the same people. They engage in trade, marriage, personal relations, cultural exchange, the same movies and TV they watch, the same music they listen to. They're the same exact people who are under the different ideological governments.
The Taiwanese people disagree with him. They identify culturally now more as Taiwanese. All the polling data shows that. Also, the reason why they don't like the Chad Taiwanese is because they're soying out.
All
righty then. Thank you.
And with that, I'd like to thank both of you for making this both more lively and entertaining. Stay tuned for further information on the boxing match. But,
yeah! Hell yeah!
Appreciate everybody's professional questions there.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.